you, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to come before you a third time this evening in the affirmation of the proposition. The scriptures teach that the child of God may receive forgiveness of sins by nature before and without learning of those sins. But I'd like to see 8:10 and then 8:11. 8:10 is on top right there, please. 8:11 is about the same time, I believe. Now, here's my basic argument, and I didn't present my basic argument until after I showed in the scripture. I showed from 1 John 1, verse 7, that cleansing from sin is a benefit of walking in the light. Because John said, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, or we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, Pat has made a parallel between the A.J. Smith and Jones thing, and we can come back to it, maybe he's given that up. But where Smith and Jones had to live for 1 year, he had 3 years on the chart, and then after living right for 3 years, then after that period of time, they would be given amnesty. That is a fictitious premise for a television show, but based on what on history, I can understand somebody answered it, and they actually did that. But to be parallel, then one has to walk in a light for how long? 1 second. Oh, 1 second. I don't know how long. He didn't say how long. But if it's parallel, then you're not playing the band until after you've walked in the line. For 1 second. 1 minute. I don't know. But it's not parallel. Now, notice here. I say, yes, it is the case that playing the band is the benefit of walking in the line. 1 John 1, 7, 10 today. Not in those words, but then if we walk in the light of Jesus' light, we have fellowship one with us, and the blood of His, Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the present tense verb there. It goes on cleansing us as we continue to walk in the light. That's the benefit from it. Now, by the way, the blood of Christ does not go on forgiving us of our alien sins. That's who that's supposed to be. You meet those conditions, believe in Jesus Christ, repent your sins, confess your faith in Christ before man, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in this sin, and those alien sins are forgiven. But that doesn't go on cleansing you of those sins as you start walking. But Christ cleanses you of the sins you commit while you're walking in the light. That's 1 John 1, 7. Since it is the case that perfect sinlessness, alright, that's back up here. Since it is the case that cleansing from sin is a benefit of walking in the light, then it is not the case that perfect sinlessness is essential to walking in the light, because perfectly sinless people do not need to be cleansed from sin. They don't need to be cleansed from sin. Now, I don't know if you know any perfectly sinless people. I don't. So from other statements you made, I don't see how in the world that anybody could walk in the light. Since it is the case that perfect sinlessness is not essential to walking in the light, then it is the case that one sin does not necessarily result in walking in darkness. I never said that one sin never results in walking in darkness. Yes, I believe that one sin could result in walking in darkness if that one sin is the failure to love your brother, because genuine loving is an element of walking in the light, as I pointed out. The individual who doesn't love his brother, who hates his brother, we'll put it that way, since that's the way that John put it, and he put it. He hates his brother. If he hates his brother all day long, he's not walking in the light that day. And yet, he's got to repent of not walking in the light and start walking in the light again. But that doesn't mean that every sin separates you from God as soon as you commit it. No, it doesn't mean that. That's Isaiah 55:1-2 or 59:1-2. It doesn't even say that. It says their sins and transgressions that separate them from God. It doesn't mean that every sin, every time an individual sins, is separated from God. And you said, not only the sin, but the failure to repent, both separate from God. Now, how does failure to repent separate a person from God if he's already separated from God? That's not going to work either. Since it is the case that one sin does not necessarily result in walking in darkness, then fine. It's not necessarily do so, because if it did, then perfect sinlessness would be a benefit of walking in light. But that's not, as though one sin does not necessarily result in walking in darkness. Since it does not, then it is the case that one sin does not necessarily break fellowship with God. I didn't say that one sin couldn't break fellowship with God. No, it doesn't necessarily break fellowship with God. And there's a world of difference between those. They live between groups. Sin is the case of one sin. I should have underlined that scripture. It does not necessarily break fellowship with God. Sin is the case of one may, not will. Not will necessarily, but may still be in fellowship with God and nearly have the meaning of sin. Now, if the sin that he commits is in any way a failure to walk in the light, that is, he stops loving, or he stops believing, or he stops living right, then no, that sin would break fellowship with him, but not. That he may still be in fellowship with God if he has meaning of sin. And by the way, it doesn't matter what the sin is, unless it's a sin that was necessarily involved his cessation of fellowship. In other words, he stopped living right, or he stopped loving, or he stopped believing. Since it is the case that one may still be in fellowship with God and even after living in sin, not will, but may, then it's the case that one may receive forgiveness for sin more than anybody else. And I didn't say that everybody in the world would be forgiven for sins, or every child of God necessarily would be forgiven for sins that I needed before without learning them. I said a child of God may do so, may receive forgiveness of sins. I didn't think that it is the case that one may receive forgiveness of sin before doing anything else. Then it is the case one may receive forgiveness of sin before learning of that sin. Since it is the case, and again, may, not will necessarily, but may. Since it is the case one may receive forgiveness of sin before learning of that sin, then it is the case one may receive forgiveness of sin without learning of that sin. May, not will. I'm not affirming will necessarily. I'm affirming may. And the condition of it is walking in the light. I want to see here, chart 8333. Quote from bottom of my hand, showing that he and I differ on, does the sin of ignorance separate from God? Now, I believe a sin of ignorance might separate one of you from what things? Okay? I believe a sin of ignorance may separate from the sin of ignorance from God. It is willing ignorance. But willing ignorance is a characteristic of one who is walking in darkness. It's not a characteristic of one who is walking in the light. And so, no, I believe that sin of may separate from God, but it doesn't necessarily separate from God. Sin of ignorance separates the child of God from God when he discovers that sin and does not turn from it. Now, in that last debate, I corrected that statement later in the debate. And I said that it was not the sin that separated him from God, but his failure to repent of that sin once he learned about it. And I said, in tonight, that failure to repent of a sin that you learn you've committed is itself a sin. And so, no, that doesn't mean that I don't believe sin separates from God. I do believe sin separates from God. But not every sin necessarily separates one from God. It means it's on his committing that sin. Again, because then he could be separated between them and their God, and their sin is his faith from you, that he will not separate from them, but he is not here. That doesn't mean that every time a child of God sins, he separates from God. Well, that's extrapolation. You're jumping to a conclusion. He didn't say that. For the wages of sin is death. That doesn't say the wages of every sin is immediate death. That's the wages of sin. That's sin in the abstract. Yes, I think the wages of sin is death. You know, I work at a job. I've got a second job, full-time job. I make so much an hour. But my boss doesn't come in every hour and pay me. No. There's wages for the work that I do. But I don't receive those wages every hour, even though my wages are based on the hour. The wages of sin is dead. Yeah, that doesn't mean you die as soon as you sin, even though it's a sin of ignorance, and you're striving to learn more about God's will so you can avoid sin. And we're not affirming anything. We're affirming anything about the non-Christian. I'm not obligated to give an example. The scripture speaks three ways. Direct statement. Approved example. And implication. I'm using implication. I'm not even trying to use an example. I never affirmed that I could find an example. And I've not looked for one because I don't believe I need one. But the implication of 1 John 1:7 is that cleansing from sin is a benefit of walking in the light. Here's in 18, please. God hates sin. Yeah. God hates sin. You know, David said, I remember this is one of the songs. Through thy commandments I gain understanding, therefore I hate every false way.
Did he know every false way?
Now, you don't have to know every false way to hate it, but if you don't know it, you can't know that you're in it. My opponent really doesn't believe that God hates me. Yes, I do. But he also hates man's failure to repent of it. Because failure to repent of it is a sin.
And that's right. God does hate both. And you know, that's just God in the parallel. It don't work.
All right. I want to see you start in 7.
And that says I want back in 1 and in 2.
We must never make for our 7 weeks under contract verse 9.
And I'm not interested.
And that's shown. Walking in the light includes the conviction mentioned in verse 9. One who is not confessing sins as he learns of his life is not walking in the light. Two conditions of pardon are mentioned in verse 7 to 9, just like in Mark 16:15. In 2,
That's not it. But it's not in 1.
That's number 1?
That's not it. Look for in 3. It may still be over there.
No, 1, 3,
then
4.
We look 1, 2, and
3. Yeah. Patton says, while Patton says that walking light is all inclusive, he also says that 2 conditions of pardon are mentioned in verse 7 through 9, just like in Mark 16:16. They try to make a parallel. But I can't believe it's sometimes all inclusive, Bob, but sometimes it's not all inclusive. I agree. But when is walking light not all inclusive? When you've got it on a chart with condition named after it? When the confession named after it? Now he says, he further says, in both cases, both of these, if walking light is all inclusive, then it includes confession. And I'm not contradicting verse 7 with verse 9. Verse 9 is not forgetting in verse 7. And it is not the case that 2 conditions of pardon are mentioned in verse 7 and 9, just like in Mark 16:16, which is a fact. Are they 2 conditions or is walking light all inclusive? I believe walking light is all inclusive. It includes right living, genuine loving, true believing, and right living includes learning truth and obeying truth as you learn it, involves repenting of and confessing sins as you discover them in your life. His end mind, please. My message is about allowing for growth. I am my end 4. This is about to have in our last debate beginning tonight. That my position not only allows for growth, it demands it. This is another statement. Past position actually demands that God has complete understanding of God's will and total recall. Otherwise, how can he be sure that he confessed everything that he never committed? The child of God who desires to send fear and milk of the word that he may grow thereby receives no comfort from past position unless and until he knows and understands every responsibility he has and knows beyond a shadow of doubt that he has been all of it. Tell me how that individual that doesn't know that can know that he's walking in the light. As a matter of fact, he also made a statement about knowing the commands of God. Hereby, John 14:23, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Right? So, here's an individual that knows all God's commandments. He doesn't love God, according to you. And that's time to learn. Here's a wife that she just got married 3 days ago. She doesn't know that her husband hates liver. He comes home, she's got a nice liver dinner. She's not loving just because she didn't know he hated liver. No, that doesn't prove that. You do these things, you shall never fall. My thought is that sometimes, even if you don't do these things, you still won't fall. I believe that. Because if you're not doing those things, you're not walking in the light. I don't believe that. That's a total issue. And by the way, he says, if you'll never sin, never fall, and you think it's ever God's sin is, he's implying that if you do these things, he said you'll do, you've never sinned. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, this is not in us. But to add to do these things, you'll never sin. That's fair. But if we say we have to make virtue, not sin, we'll never sin unless we have no sin. To say that, you're deceiving them. You can't even do what 1 Peter 1:10 says to do.